Thank you very much. Welcome to the general public comment session of October 27, 2025. City Council provides a half-hour general public comment session to hear from the public on city matters, except for any matters that are scheduled to have a public hearing. To maximize time for public comments, Council will not offer comments or responses from the dais. Council members or staff may contact speakers following their comment if they raise matters that lend themselves to follow-up. All speakers should begin by stating their names. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. For those participating in person, when called upon, please come to the podium. A timer on the presentation monitor will display your time remaining. For those participating virtually, when called upon, please wait until you are promoted speaker. Then accept the promotion, turn on your camera if you have one, and your microphone. You will see the timer on your screen counting down. Please refrain from profane or obscene speech, direct comments to council as a whole, and refrain from individual or personal attacks, including disparaging other speakers' motives. First up, hold on just a second. Alicia Odit, virtually.
Yes, thank you. Yes, hello, my name is Alicia Ott. I'm a Denver resident in District 10. I wanted to speak to the council today to urge while finalizing the 2026 budget to follow Councilperson Parity's amendment to add one additional non-congregate family shelter. So I was raised by a teacher and a pastor who volunteers with the homeless population weekly, and I have a quite early formative memory of him mourning a friend who had frozen to death on the streets of Denver. I have been hopeful ever since that there could be real ways to prevent these types of tragedies from occurring in such a daily and quiet manner, and have had that hope since living here. When Mayor Johnston took office in 2023, he pledged to open shelters in every neighborhood in Denver, and that never happened. Now he's closing down some of the shelters that have opened in the recent years. So as this council is well aware and concerned with, there are still thousands of people suffering outside. Families are living in cars, more people than any time in at least 20 years are being evicted from their homes and risk falling into homelessness. Overall homelessness has risen since the mayor took office. So the wait list for family shelters has hovered at over 200 or more families all year. So this proposed amendment from Councilperson Parity would, for $9 million for a new shelter that would meet the needs of those most vulnerable to homelessness and implement proven methods to mitigate that sort of displacement and suffering. So whether the mayor's office chooses to use the Comfort Inn itself or another building, I know there are lots of options for hotels and places like that. That cost figure is pretty confident of the $9 million, and adding that approximate 140 rooms would seriously mitigate that wait list for those families who need immediate shelter. So as winter draws near, I hope that we can all think about how much those people matter who everyone knows them and mourns them, even if you don't. So let's ensure that they get housed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Mariah Rodriguez, virtually. Mariah, if you accept the promotion. Mariah. Next up, we have Cassandra Nicholas in chambers.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm a participant at the 48th Avenue Samaritan House. That building, if anyone is unfamiliar, it is an old warehouse. It is owned by the City of Denver, and it is rented by Catholic Charities. It houses approximately 300 women. I'm here to talk about some alarming patterns regarding our health concerns here that are not being heard. First of all, we see a sudden increase we see a sudden increase in respiratory illness. And when I say respiratory illness, I don't just mean the run of the mill. I mean people being hospitalized in the ICU for months, people being septic after moving into the shelter. Some other issues that we've been seeing that is a clear pattern are our hands and our feet, the palms of our hands and feet peeling. We're losing our hair. We have severe alopecia. We have unexplained intermittent pain within our bodies. But the most alarming pattern and the strongest correlation that I have seen is urinary incontinence upon entering the shelter. When I first came in March, at the end of March, I myself started losing control of my bladder. I'm 42 years old. As I started to speak to the residents, the other participants at the shelter, I noticed not only a correlation, but a strong majority. 85 to 90% of the people that I have talked to have lost, have become incontinent of the bladder, wearing diapers at 20 years old, wearing incontinent pads at 40 all the way through 70. And I understand that this is easy to write off as people using drugs or people making choices about their lives, perhaps pre-existing health conditions. But I am concerned. I'm not the only person who's concerned and who is suffering. I brought this to the attention of Catholic Charities facilities, and I was largely dismissed. I asked to see reports about environmental issues, about black mold, because some of the physicians have perhaps speculated that it is black mold. Upon doing some research, I saw that in 2008, there was a plant less than a mile down the road that caught on fire that produced rodent poison. It was so bad that it contaminated all of the soil and the water, and that site at the intersection of I-70 and Vasquez is still a federal Superfund area. We have a right to have our questions answered about what our health, how our health is being affected. We had stories before we became just a label of being unhoused, and we would like to finish writing our own stories after we leave the shelter. Who is a charitable act actually serving when the concerns and voices of those who are allegedly being helped are being silenced, dismissed, and unheard? Please, this is an opportunity to investigate and potentially rectify anything that could be happening there at the 48th Avenue Samaritan House. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Next up, we have Philip Marino in the council chambers. Philip? Producer online, Philip? Nope. Next up, we have Norma Espinosa in the chambers.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Norma. Tengo 12 años trabajando en la limpieza y los últimos 8 años para los edificios de la ciudad. Soy madre de 3 hijos y desde enero vivimos en la incertidumbre de no saber cuántas horas tendremos cada semana. Nos redujeron días de trabajo y horas. Ahora dicen que podría venir otro recorte. Económicamente es duro porque todo aumenta y nuestro ingreso baja, pero también
señora,
hay un impacto
señora,
fuerte en la imagen
señora,
y la higiene
señora, un
de
momento,
la ciudad.
Por favor. Un momento, por favor.
Okay.
Producer? Jasmine? Sam? Ruby?
If needed, I can translate, Council President.
Okay, do you want to start over?
Yeah. Si puede empezar, pero un frase a la vez y luego yo traduzco, por favor.
Mi nombre es Norma y tengo 12 años trabajando para la limpieza y los últimos 8 en los edificios de la ciudad.
My name is Norma and I've been cleaning for 12 years and the last 8 years I've been cleaning the city and county building.
I can take over, Councilwoman.
Great.
I'm just gonna sign now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Puede continuar.
Soy madre de 3 hijos y desde enero vivimos en la incertidumbre de no saber cuántas horas tendremos cada semana.
I'm a mother of 3, and since January, I've lived with the uncertainty of not knowing how many hours we'll have per week.
Nos redujeron días de trabajo y ahora dicen que podría venir otro recorte.
Our work days were reduced, and now they're telling us that we're expecting another cutback.
Económicamente es durísimo. Todo aumenta y nuestro ingreso baja. Pero también hay un impacto fuerte en la imagen y la higiene de la ciudad.
It's very economically impactful as everything in cost is going up and the amount that we're making is going down, but there's also a cost in the hygiene of the city.
Los edificios siguen abiertos y la gente entra todos los días y la basura se acumula por días.
Buildings are still open. People go into the buildings and trash begins to accumulate over days.
Cuando llegamos por las mañanas, el día de trabajo que no estuvo trabajando, todo está más sucio y hay muchísima basura acumulada.
Whenever we arrive after days of not working, everything is dirtier and there's a lot of buildup of trash.
¿Qué impresión se lleva alguien que entra a un baño público de Denver y ve esto?
What impression does this give a person that goes into a public restroom in Denver and sees this?
Con menos días de trabajo, todo se aumenta, todo está más sucio y así es, se espera que hagamos lo mismo en menos tiempo. Es físicamente imposible y emocionalmente agotador.
With less work days, everything is getting dirtier and they're expecting us to do the same amount of work in less time. And it's physically exhausting, but also emotionally exhausting.
Nosotras somos trabajadoras esenciales y nuestro trabajo mantiene la salud y la dignidad de los espacios públicos.
We are essential workers and our work maintains the health and the dignity of public spaces.
Les pedimos que valoren lo que hacemos y no castiguen quienes mantienen limpia la cara de esta ciudad.
We ask that you value what we do and that you value those who maintain the face of the city.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Juanita Hesek. Juanita?
Buenas tardes, miembros del consejo. Mi nombre es Juanita Hesek. Llevo 23 años trabajando como conserje en el edificio Wellington Webb. Soy madre de tres hijas y siempre he estado orgullosa de mantener
limpio
el edificio.
¿Puede tomar una pausa? My name is Juanita Hesek, and I've been working as a city employee in the custodial department for over 20 years.
Pero desde enero, por los recortes del presupuesto, nos empezaron a mandar a descanso sin pago un día a la semana.
But since January, because of the cutbacks, we were starting to be sent home one day per week.
Ahora dicen que podría ser otro día más. Eso solo nos afecta económicamente. También está afectando a la ciudad.
Now they're saying it could be another day, which is affecting us economically, but it's also affecting the city.
Los viernes no trabajamos, pero el edificio sigue abierto. La gente entra, usa los baños, hay basura, y todo se acumula hasta el día lunes.
The Fridays we don't work, but the building is open. People go into the building, use the restrooms, and the trash builds up, and everything builds up.
Cuando regresamos los lunes, los botes están repletos, los baños algunas veces huelen terrible, y tenemos que usar cubrebocas para soportar el olor.
We come back on Mondays and the trash cans are completely filled to the brim. The smell is unbearable and we have to wear masks even to be able to tolerate the smell.
Antes limpiábamos un piso por persona. Ahora lo hacemos varios pisos con menos personal y menos tiempo.
Before it was one person would clean one floor, but now it's several floors and with less employees overall.
No hay manera de mantener la misma calidad y es una vergüenza que un edificio público, el de los impuestos donde entra la comunidad, esté sucio.
There's no way to maintain the same quality and it's an embarrassment that a city building like this where our taxes go looks like this.
Nosotras hacemos un trabajo esencial. Mantenemos limpio y seguro lo que representa nuestra ciudad.
We have an essential job. We maintain clean and safe spaces where the public goes to the city buildings.
Les pedimos que reconsideren estos recortes y piensen en las personas que todos los días dejan los edificios dignos para el público, que es nuestra ciudad. Muchas gracias.
We ask that you reconsider these budget cuts and take into consideration the people that are maintaining the dignity of our spaces. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Roderick Marshall. Roderick Marshall, virtually.
Good evening. Just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Roderick Marshall. I am CEO of Fresh Start. Sorry. I am CEO of Fresh Start of Denver and Consulting Group, LLC. And I've been on here several times, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm sorry I didn't have my video on. I'm also a board member of Sewell, and we have our day of giving tomorrow. So we've raised $26,237, and we have a $50,000 goal. So tomorrow, if anybody's out there and financially able to give to Sewell, we would appreciate it. And I think that we're in a position where our community is being ripped apart, and it's not the people in the community, it's coming from the federal government. And I think that it's going to push us to the point where we have to go back to where we really focus on community. We really focus on helping our neighbor, making sure that our kids have food on the table. I think that it is despicable to have this situation where 42 million families won't receive their SNAP benefits, and my family of seven would be one of them. In my situation, we have two working parents who can do our best to, and I'm probably going to end up getting a second job, but we'll do our best to make it. But my prayers go out to the families, single mothers, single fathers who are already working hard and already maxed out, and they need those SNAP benefits. I don't think that it is a joking matter, and I think that it is disgusting to go through that. We need to connect as a community and help each other. At Sewell, we also have, I don't know if it's open for public, but we allow our families to take bags home too, like a food bank. And today when I picked up my kids, I even noticed that there's cat food available. So shout out to Sewell for thinking of the cats as well. Everybody, every human, every living thing needs to eat and to survive. So one more thing, Denver Great Kids Head Start, we had our end of the year celebration and we had a council person come out. So since we don't identify the council person by name, she made it easy for me to identify her. So thank you, council person Meow, for the response she made earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Ann Still in Chambers.
Good evening. My name is Ann Steele. A Block the Bombs initiative is making its way through the legislature, raising a lot of controversy about U.S. support of the genocide in Gaza. According to elected leaders, the safety of the Jews lies in the ability of Israel to defend itself. Any opposition is anti-Semitic. So, since 1946, before the State of Israel even existed, the U.S. had provided $300 billion in military aid to them. Since October 7th, the U.S. has provided $22 billion in aid to Israel, although we don't know the real number, as many aid packages go through phantom provisions tacked onto other bills. In between 2023 and 2024, Israel sold $27 billion in weapons to Europe, Asia, and the UAE, and the U.S. This is a record-breaking increase from the $8 billion it sold from 2018 to 2020. According to Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz, notably, in a difficult year of war, Israel is breaking an all-time record in defense exports. He points to IDF actions against Yemen, Iran, and Lebanon and states, the world sees Israeli strength and seeks to be a part of it. But according to our elected leaders, Israel is vulnerable and desperately needs military aid. In August, the U.S. Office of the Inspector General released an audit report of the War Reserve stockpile for allies in Israel, which is overseen by the Defense Department. The WRSA in Israel is one of the many weapons stockpiles the U.S. has in different parts of the world in the case of a conflict requiring an immediate U.S. response. According to the report, there is no transparency of Defense Department transfers of weapons to Israel, and none of those sales have gone through the normal congressional review. Former State Department official Josh Paul states, "Israel can just drive in, pull whatever it wants, and drive out." Since October 7th, Israel has been able to purchase huge quantities of weapons from the WRSA, mostly for airstrikes, without any record of those purchases. Ironically, since October 7th, Israeli air defense export sales have increased by 48%. So, following the OIG report, the Defense Department then attempted to slip a provision into a funding bill to allow Israel to pull from WRSA without congressional approval. This has nothing to do with the Jewish state, October 7th, or even Hamas. It's about cold hard cash and the military industry. Israel does not need more weapons from us. Please hold the line with the military industrial complex. Please commit to the needs of our struggling communities that are represented in this room. And do not give any more money to Israel for weapons.
Thank you. Next up, we have Brandy Majors. You can hand her the microphone right behind you, Jesse. She has a, we have a mic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's on four.
You're all good.
All right. City Council, my name is Brandy Marie Majors. You all know who I am. We pretty much know why I'm here. I'm gonna be quick about this. Somebody has to speak up for Black Denver rights. You realize I could count every Black person in here on both hands. That is crazy and ridiculous. That means our community needs to show up more to these spaces. Also, I represent TOCA and the Reimagine Task Force for Public Policing and whatnot. Where is all these programs that you guys constantly give money to, these 501(c)s like Struggle of Love, et cetera, where are they right now? Do we know? Right? But everybody always got their hand out when it comes to y'all. Currently, right now in District 9, I saw 45 Black people standing outside putting sheets and tarps over rocks so they could cover themselves while it's raining. That's unacceptable. And they're all Black, mostly men. Unacceptable. You know, you let the devil, the mayor, tokenize the only two Black council people we have, which is historic, right? As he dotes on all the Hispanics.
Can you just keep your comments to all of us? I understand that, but you just have to keep your. I understand, but you have to keep your comments to council as a whole, please.
I am speaking to you as a whole. This is a whole.
There's only
there are two.
We can't identify people of that.
It doesn't matter. You're wasting my time.
Brandy, I will let you continue. I'm going to keep interrupting you until you actually follow our rules, please.
As a whole,
I would interrupt anyone, and I do.
I feel some kind of way about this. Now, the other thing is this. District 9.
Follow the rules.
Is that not right? I can't call out the district?
Please refer to council as a whole.
Council, you have more Black men sleeping outside right now, getting ready to spend the night in the rain, which is unacceptable. You have Black teenagers outside getting ready to spend the night in the rain, right by the coalition. They constantly have their hand out. Right? You let the mayor do what he wants. You don't stand up to him. Why are you here? What are we here for? Right? But you want us to vote on the ballot issues. These Democratic ballot issues have no tangibles for any Black Denver right. That is the truth. There's no tangibles to be voted for. It's going to be a very low turnout rate. You're welcome. We don't see a reason to vote for any of these things. None of these things that are on there will benefit us. All it will leave is more debt. You make more money than half these people in this room. You pay out more money to all these contracts that hold you like terrorists, and you answer
Thank
to them.
Thank you, Brandy. Next up, we have Jesse Paris.
Yes, I will. Okay. I got a mic right here. Good evening, members of council, those watching at home, those here in the council chambers. My name is Jesse LaShawn Paris, and I'm representing for Black Star Action Movement for Self-Defense, Positive Action Commitment for Social Change, as well as the Unity Party of Colorado, the Northeast Denver Residents Council, the Reimagining Police and Public Safety, otherwise known now as TOCA, the Quebec Street Task Force, Frontline Black News, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, the Revolutionary Agenda. And I reside in the fine District 9, the historically black district of Five Points at the Legacy Lofts in Darrell Watson's district. As my spouse alluded to, nothing that y'all are proposing is gonna benefit black Americans, foundational black Americans, the people that built this country, the people that are still being genocided in this country. Y'all keep talking about genocide, but y'all wanna address the elephant in the room, which is anti-black hatred and racism that has yet to be addressed and probably will never be addressed, but yet y'all want us to go out and vote. Vote for what? We're not getting nothing tangible for our vote. You say representation matters. What good is representation if it don't have our best interests in mind? If it's just gonna toe the Democratic Party's line. The Democrat Party is not our friends, black people. Listen very close. The past 60 years, they have not done nothing tangible for us, but yet they still want us to go out and vote blue no matter who. For what? So now we got the orange man in office and everybody's freaking out because, oh my God, now you have to struggle. Oh, now you have to experience what black people have experienced for the past 400 years in this country. Welcome to the club. Mayor Johnson got to go. He done prioritized everybody over actual citizens, including illegal immigrants. They are illegal immigrants. They came here illegally. They broke the law. And they need to be addressed as such. They should not be catered to and pampered. And now we're $2 million in debt as a result of this madness. But yet, you know, you can't blame me for it. I ran for mayor. Y'all didn't want me for mayor. You wanted the rich white boy from Aspen. So that's what you get. So, salute, Breeze. So, Mayor Johnson's budget is no good. Nothing that he's doing is no good. It's not helping black people at all. Black people are being displaced, gentrified, as usual, made unhoused. I said they're unhoused, but they're still part of the community. Everybody uses my terminology, but never want to give me credit for it. We see you, we hear you, and we know you're not going to do a damn thing for us. So if it was up to me, I would say recall Mayor Johnson now before 2027, but more than likely you're not going to do it. So we got to deal with this fool until 2027. And then you'll put another pre-picked candidate that's going to get Bloomberg's money again. You know, the reason why he's the mayor is because Bloomberg gave him $6 million.
Next up, we have Moab Boisio will be our last speaker for the evening.
I've been speaking here for 6 months, and I was planning on speaking about flock and how it violates our constitutional rights and liberties, and how the mayor is the stewardship of this mayor and Donald Trump. It will take us full restructuring of our guardrails of our constitution. The mayor said none of the information about flock is shared to states. He lied, check. He said the flock is not sharing it with anyone. He doesn't know. We all know. It took 2 days for a firm in Washington, D.C. to figure that out. Check. The mayor doesn't care about families who are homeless. Right here. I was at Comfort Inn, the shelter, before they kicked me out. Half of it is empty. Half of the entire shelter is empty for a purpose, one purpose, just in case someone's downtown so they can take them. Yet families, immigrant families, this country was founded on immigrants. They do. Founded on immigrants. It's the melting pot of all pots. Yet, I've been speaking here for 6 months, and yet you all voted, with the exception of the champions of this council, we all know them, I can't mention them. You voted again for Stagnation Army. 12 murders in Doubletree, ladies and gentlemen. I met with the mayor 2 weeks ago. He did not deny it. He was just shaking his head. And he said, oh, did you hear about the new contract? It's going to be performance-based, and Salvation is not in the two hotels. I told him, you've been defending them till the end. Till the end. And he said nothing. So for you, after all of this advocacy from us, to continue and vote for Salvation Army is a disgrace, with the exception of the champions. For you not to show up to that event where hundreds of Denverites showed up to protect our civil liberties, to protect our First Amendment. We know what the police does with our information. We've seen it. We've seen it with the Patriot Act. We've seen it with the NSA. They share it. They even share it. Flock shared our information even with insurance companies, car insurance companies. So you're stripping us from everything that the founding fathers put for us. Who's the first American? Benjamin Franklin. He said, no, no, do not give up your securities for temporary.
Thank you, Moab. Thank you for coming tonight. Council will now reconvene.